some young, some old, some brand new dads, others great grandpas. We have it all here, and we thank God for it. We want to honor you and acknowledge that your life is a story that needs to be heard. And we're not going to hear from all of you today, but if the Lord tarries over the next several years, and he may not, but I'd like to hear from at least one or two of you on this day. And I've asked these men to help me. Brother Paul McDonald, who represents a very old dad. You can't tell by looking, but he has a lot of experience and a tremendous testimony of God bringing him through. And as I have chatted with him in time past, he has a profound appreciation for how valuable it is for us as dads to make sure we place our best into our kids. And I think that's awesome. And then, of course, Brother Kevin Crawford is kind of like a new dad. You know, one little baby and another on the way. So you're still, man, you got to be still like in that whole fog, probably, I would think. Like, what happened to me, you know? Thank God you got a beautiful wife to get you through all that stuff, because that's the only way it works for me. Can I get an amen from somebody? Yeah. But he represents younger dads today that are determined. We are going to look to the Word of God and the heritage of our church family and fathers that are wonderful examples. And you're going to hear from them more in just a few moments. But I want to read a scripture and we'll pray to set it up. And then at some point here in the next few moments, I'll direct Brother Paul to come. He'll come and just share what's on his heart. And then I'll direct Brother Kevin after that. But from Psalm 1, the third part of this song, I'd like to just connect it with dads, because it's speaking of men that delight in the law of God. And so for every dad that delights in God, his word, his plan, here is the promise. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so from that verse and from what these men will share, I want to declare for every dad that's here, you are a dad of destiny. Your life, your story matters. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us today. Bless our dads, but bless each one of us with a fresh touch from him. Lord Jesus, through your word and then our time of prayer at the end, when we pray for the sick and those with other needs, we're asking for you to minister and to bless in a supernatural way. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we trust you, God. We believe you for your presence and your help, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Paul, would you come and share with us whatever the Lord has put on your heart?
Praise the Lord. Before I get going up here, I got a PowerPoint to go through. I want to read a scripture. It's from Proverbs. Proverbs is obviously the book that we seem to go to today. So it's Proverbs 2 and verse 6. For the Lord has given wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So fathers, I may be old, but I'm not wise. I don't feel like I'm wise. There's a whole lot to being a father, and we were going through a series about what is a Christian, talking about that. And Pastor and I went about 3 weeks ago, went out to lunch, and I asked him, I said, hey, you know that teaching that we were going through, what is a Christian, it got me thinking, what is a father? So, Brother Philip, if you put that up, please, what is a father? First it was, what is a Christian? That's what got us thinking. What is a father? This is just me, okay? This isn't a scripture. This isn't it. This is me. Raising a son or a daughter to love God with all their heart, inward and outwardly, while being a role model that they can count on and be their hero. I'll give you a synopsis, and I got to be short because it's supposed to be 10:15. I said it's going to be about 15 because I got a lot to say. But when I was growing up, my dad and I did things together when I was just a small boy. We would go to the A&W, and he'd say, "Don't tell your sisters that we're going to get a root beer." And, well, first thing I did was came home and through the door, and I said, "Guess where we went?" You know, it was A&W. And, of course, he laughed because he knew that I couldn't keep my mouth shut. You know, three sisters, and I'm the only boy. I got to say something. So at a young age, we would do things together, but when it came to a critical age, and when I talk about this be the hero, Brother Will, can you stand up just for a minute, please? He helped with putting this sign together out front, raising it up. And you can be seated, thanks. I was out there in the evening. It was dark out, we didn't get done. His wife came with a box full of hot cookies, which was awesome, wasn't it? Pastor was here, Brother Herman was here, there were others here, Brother John was here. And he's working hard at stacking these stones. Well, when she got out, she was actually one that came around and the headlights were helping us out a little bit in the dark. His son came out of the car and he was so excited at what his dad was doing. "Daddy, you're making that. Dad, look." Do you remember the day? You remember the evening? I stepped back kind of in the shadows and I had to shed a tear because I thought about my boy. Sure. And I thought, I want to be his hero. I want to be the role model that God wants me to be, not just as a man, but godly. Yeah. So I grew up with my dad that didn't go to church. He loved me. He still loves me. But when I got to the crucial age, Aaron, when I got to your age, my dad started fading away. He wasn't there. We would go hunting. We would fish. I would farm. I farmed like crazy till I was 12 years old when I started farming, and I quit when I was 22. So I farmed and put everything I had into that. I did a lot of things on my own. My dad still was a part of my life, but he wasn't a spiritual leader of our home, let alone me. So I was on my own, if you will, in that sense, okay? Could he do anything? My dad could do anything. Just like you look at growing up, your dad could do anything. I was proud of my dad. I am proud of my dad for his things that he's shown me. There came a point in my life where he and I were at odds, and he said, "I don't feel that I've done you right. I don't feel that I've been able to impart anything to you of value." And I said, "Hold on a second." Because, you know, with everything that's negative, there's always a positive, right? Sure. You can find something. He taught me a hard work ethic. Work hard. Don't stop. Push. Give it all you got. And I said, "Dad," I said, "I learned that from you. I learned how to hunt and fish and all that too, but that's kind of the menial, kind of the small things. But the drive and the pursuit, whatever it is you're after, go for it. Just stay, keep it in line with God." Please go to the next screen. Proverbs 4:1-4. "Listen, my son." So we're talking about listening. I'm trying to tell you something. Brother Kevin's going to tell you something. Pastor's been talking. Listen to me. My grandson, actually, we went to Disney World, and I got to tell you this. We went to Disney World, and we had fun, and we went home, and everything was back to normal. We got a voicemail. His mom didn't know he got a hold of his phone. He's 5 years old. And he was whispering, "Peepa, Peepa, listen to me. Listen to me." He said it twice. "We got to go back to Disney World." I think of that every day. Yeah, Listen to me. As Michael Paul, as you are starting your new journey with your lovely wife, there's going to be things that you just, he knows, Brother Kevin knows now what's going on. He's starting to, well, he's getting started, getting his feet wet. But when I was, and I'm going to jump around a little bit, when I started out with my wife, my lovely wife, which, by the way, if it wasn't for her and God, I wouldn't be here. I tell you that right now. Wives, support, you don't know what that means to your husband. Be there. But husbands, you have a huge responsibility. I had a plan. I always got a plan. She'll say, stick to the plan. I'll say, stick to the plan, and she'll tease me about it. My plan was I didn't want to rent a house and then have kids because I would never get a house. So I said, look, till we get a house, no kids. Okay? No kids. Okay, that's fine. That's great. We're kind of going along, and we were only married for a few months, and one morning, Saturday morning, we wake up, and she says, I got something to tell you. I said, yeah, what's up? I didn't think nothing. I was stupid. Young and dumb. She says, I'm pregnant. I didn't say anything. I did, and she will tell you this. She lied to me, by the way. No, she told me it was right. She wasn't pregnant. She was just seeing what I would do. Well, I turned to the wall, and I cried. I cried like a baby. It's over. It's ruined. We're never going to get a house. We're never going to... That lovely lady over there lied to me. So, Michael Paul, just keep an eye on her. Not my wife, your wife. Don't you look at my wife. There's scripture for that too. Okay, so back to this. Sorry. Listen, my son, to a father. This is Solomon talking. A father's instruction. Pay attention. How many times have you heard, Brother Mark, how many times have you told your sons, pay attention? Aaron in football, pay attention. Whatever you're doing, pay attention. Men, if you're not a father, listen to what's going on up here. Not my words. I'm talking about life. Pay attention. Pay attention to the man of God up here. Whoever's standing here teaching the word, pay attention, because there's so much out there that is getting your, it's distracting and is moving and it's taking you away. If you pay attention and you put your stock and put your trust in God and then the men of God, you will go far. So it says, pay attention and gain understanding. So it's not just about paying attention, because, I mean, you can sit in a seminar, you can sit in a training, you know, and yeah, I'm looking at you, but I'm not hearing a word you're saying. It's got to be here and here, right? You will gain understanding. The more you understand, the more you exercise, the more that baby cries in your house, Brother Kevin, and you're in the middle of the night putting a pillow over your head because you can't get it to, it's like, what do? We fed it, we changed his diaper, and mama take care of it, you know? Just, there's things that are going to happen in life that you can't explain. There's no playbook to this. It's life. But trusting in God and being a godly father, that, it makes all the difference. It says, I give you sound learning, do not forsake my teaching. So he's continually saying, listen, pay attention. Don't blow me off here. I need you to pay attention. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and the only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words. There you go again. Pay attention. Listen to me. Michael Paul, you have, what I've seen of you and your dad is awesome. When you came up to the fishing trip, and of course, you know, we didn't get any fish because it was raining like crazy, but Superstar comes here and one morning he pulls out a fish and comes back and, you know, I got a fish about 7 inches long. But when I left, I was talking to Brother Mike, and they were still up there, and they were going to lunch, and they were hanging out, and they were spending the day. That's cool. Because in all that you do for God, in all the teaching that you do, I started telling you about me when I was, you know, as I was growing up. When I turned 9 years old, I got a baseball bat and a mitt and a ball for my birthday. I told Pastor this when we were out to lunch. And I said, Dad, let's go. Let's go outside. He said, I can't. I got to go. I got things I got to do. So the first thing that comes to my mind, cats in the cradle and a silver spoon, little boy blue and a man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. No. Go out and play ball. Go fishing. Do something with your son. And I'm talking about sons right now, and don't get me wrong. I love my girl. Believe me. I'd do anything for my girl. But I'm talking about fathers, so I'm talking right now, I'm bringing in this in the realm of sons, fathers and sons, because those sons are going to be fathers someday, and they need to know how to act and live and love God and move in the Holy Ghost and grow strong to grow others. That song has been in my head. Pastor, I think we could sing a duet together. It's everybody knows the song. Well, everybody my age knows that song. It's, if you listen to the whole song, it's sad. Because at the end of the song, my boy is just like me. Dad, I'm sorry, I don't have time for you. No, I need to talk to you, son. No, I don't have time for you. But we need to get together. Man, I'm really busy. Kids are sick. This is going on, that's going on. I don't have time. Make time. Even if you're living for God, you're doing everything you can, make time for your son and your daughter. Don't push it off. If it's 5 minutes, 5 minute conversation, it doesn't have to be let's go fishing, let's go hunting, let's do something that takes a lot of money. I told my son when he was, after he had his son, Blake Hunter's his name. He said, Dad, I don't have the money to go out and do a lot of the things that I want to do. I said, Chris, what did we do? What did we do when we were just wanting to spend time together? We went for a walk down to the park, went and checked out the ducks in the marsh. We threw the canoe in the water. We dropped a pole in the water. Maybe we had to go find our worms that night because we didn't have money to get worms, but we did it. Simple, simple things. It doesn't have to be tough. It doesn't have to be grand. It's simple. So every time you're talking to your son or your daughter, you're getting them to listen. Listen to what I'm telling you. But you're also putting into them. So you're putting good things of God into them. You're raising them in his upbringing, in his word. But you're also putting things of, you're not supposed to be focused on things of this earth, but you have to create relationships, okay? And if you don't make a relationship with your son, he's going to find somewhere to make a relationship. I'll tell you that right now. I could have went many different ways, and I'm not proud of some of the things I did, but my mom was a praying mom, just like yours. She was on her knees, bringing me to the altar when I wasn't there. She was praying the Holy Ghost over me. She was praying God's hand in my life. And I had many good men that were a part of my life. So I tell you, listen. Go to the next, please. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. So it's one thing to listen, but it's another thing to accept it. You can take what you've heard all day long, but if you don't put it in here and put it in your heart and put it in your mind, and you don't take that and use it, you've not completed your task. You've not completed the whole process. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. So he continually says this, and I ask all of you men, Read Proverbs 4, start to finish. Doesn't take that long, but don't read it once. Read it two or three times and go through, and I want you to highlight the things in there that really stand out in your mind. What stands out in my mind is that he kept saying, listen, listen. There's too many people out there that are listening to the wrong things, listening to somebody else's advice. Dr. Phil, do all this stuff. How about you listen to godly advice out of the Bible and you stick to that? That take you a whole lot further. So this is one of the things that came up. So the Friday that we talked, he told me that Pastor asked me if I would speak, and I about fell out of my chair in the restaurant. I was like, you know, this is going to be tough because, you know, it's not been that long ago that I lost my son, and I don't know that I can do this, and okay, I'll think about it. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. My wife and I were supposed to sleep in and cuddle. You ever do that? Yeah, you got that down, right? I know you have. So we're supposed to cuddle on Saturday, and it ends up 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I'm sobbing. I don't know why. And I get out of bed and I go sit in the living room and the Bible's there. And I open it up to Proverbs 4. Then all of a sudden, all this stuff starts coming to my head. So I had to grab a pad of paper and I started writing stuff down. And this is some of the stuff that came to my mind. So remember what we talked about up to this point. Impart godly wisdom. Invest. Invest means to spend time or put things of God into your child. That's what I'm talking about. Spend quality time with him, okay? So that's not necessarily godly. That's just being a dad, right? With that, you're going to influence. Be a positive role model for your child. Show him what a godly man is by being an example. Don't do as I say, do as, you know that deal? Live it. If you're here, you're at the store, you're at the football game, wherever you're at, live it. Next, please. I just want to show you some comparisons here. Pay attention. So Solomon said pay attention. I'm saying now pay attention. Listen to this. This is the opposite. Disinvestment. Definition. A reduction of an asset, financial, ethical, or political. Influence, you still have influence when you disinvest. You still have an influence on the negative side. It stays the same. The capacity to have an effect on a on the character, development, right? We're talking dads and sons and daughters, right? Or behavior of someone. Go to the next one, please. Listen to God's voice. Improve. So you're talking about you want to improve. You want to make yourself better. You don't want to stay. There was time that God blessed me with an awesome wife, that she had patience and she was prayerful, and I wasn't improving. I was not the perfect dad. I am not the perfect dad, but I mean, I wasn't even trying. I had a point where I kind of got in this valley, if you will, this time in my life where I was like, just, I don't know what to do. I don't know, there's no answers to it, Brother Mark. There's not. You can go to dad. I didn't go to my dad. I would go to a very dear friend of ours that he was like a dad to me, and I talked to him. But mainly I talked to my friend, Pastor Bruce Lehman, or I'd talk to my pastor, and I would find out, because I didn't need the advice of so much how to handle life from a dad perspective, per se, but I needed to know how to handle this, my heart, my mind, spiritually. How do I get where I need to be so I can show them? So you improve. Impact is another one. Definition, to affect or influence with significant meaning. Next, please. Stay focused. If you decrease in the previous, what it means is to lessen or to reduce, diminish or minimize. You still have impact if you diminish. You follow what I'm saying? Go back to the previous one, please. Improve. Go to this one. Go skip up to the next one. Back. Keep going. Decrease. There's impact. The impact is the same. There's a lot of impact in negative kids nowadays. They see their dads, they see their uncles, they see their family doing something completely left field, completely against God's word. And they're impacted, and that does not get out of your mind. You can't get rid of it. The only thing you can do is get them where they need to be. Go to the next one, please. As a dad, we must realize that no matter how we live our lives, we will influence and impact our children. There is a thread from a man's life woven through his child's life that can be broken, can't be broken. So in other words, this thread, if you pull, they move. If you slack up, they move away. You follow what I'm saying? If I put wove a thread through these pews all the way to the back and I pulled on it, the person in the back and anybody holding on to that thread could feel the tug. A father, a dad, everything you do is woven through your family and anybody that's close to your heart. And when you move in a positive direction, they're going to feel it. They're going to see it. They're going to be a part. They're going to be impacted. They're going to be influenced. When you move in a negative direction, I've done it. There's consequences to what you do. And the negative you don't want. You just don't want. Believe me. Scripture that comes to my mind, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Now, I've been in this my whole life, and I've heard people say, I've lost my son. I've lost my, not death, I'm talking about to the world. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are a praying parent, a praying dad, you have not lost your son. That's right. You have not lost your daughter.
That's right.
It says, will not depart from them. The word will never come back void. What God puts in and you put into that child as they grow up will not come back void. They won't depart. They know where to go. My son, even though he wasn't living his life the way he should, the way that I thought, there were times where he'd had friends come up and say, man, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end, and I don't know where to go. Go talk to my dad. Go talk to my sister. My sister gave Bible studies to his friends that Chris didn't want to do it, but my daughter did, because he knew. He did not depart. He didn't forget. He couldn't forget. Once you put this in your mind and in your soul, in your spirit, you will not forget. You can't, and you're accountable. And men, you're accountable. This is your blood. This is your legacy, and it's about souls. Whether it be your son or it's your stepson or your stepdaughter, it doesn't matter. It's you. You put into them, and you continue to move in God, and you move on those kids, and you invest in them. And you'll influence them, and positive things will happen. If you can go to the next one. This was on my son's computer, and I really like it. Small boys become big men through the influence of big men who care about small boys. We get into big trucks, my boy and I. And my grandson, Blake, and the others, Gabe and Grayson, they like them too. But Blake remembers, I was going to say Blake and Gabe, remember the big blue and big green, these big pickup trucks. So Chris and I always did a lot together with trucks. So this was his favorite saying. It was on his computer. There's a lot of truth to that. You don't understand until you lose and not able to go back and have a conversation. To be able to call up, say, Dad, I need your help. Son, I'm having a rough day. Until you understand that pain, and I pray to God you never do, the impact is huge. But I do have to say, in the past year and a half, I've grown closer to God than I've ever been through that and some other things that has happened. And I will not back down. I will not give up. And I will put into any child, any young man, if there's advice, I'll give advice if I can help. If there's an influence, I want to influence. If there's a positive thing I can do, that's what I'm going to do. This life is not our own. It's not about me. It's not about being selfish. It's about passing it on. If you can't pass it on, then you're not living. Because we can sit and talk. When somebody dies, you can talk about how they died. What happened? What was the last moments? How about how did they live? My son, I praise God, last 2 months of his life, he came back. I baptized him as a child. He repented, filled with the Holy Ghost. In the end, he came back. But he was an awesome dad. And I'm proud to have him for a son. I'm not trying to get you all teared up because of my son and my loss. I'm trying to get you to understand you have a responsibility. And if you don't influence them, somebody else is. You will impact. Hold them dear, Brother Kevin. As you're holding them, and I don't know your name, brother in the back, you bring your daughter up here and you pray with her and you walk up and down. Do it. Keep doing it. Don't stop. When you're up here with your kids, many services, I stood up front and my son would lay hands on people at 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years. Keep on going. Don't stop. Influence them. Know what it's like to raise your hands. It's okay, son, daughter. It's fine. That's what it's supposed to be. It's okay to cry. You come into church and you're sorry, or if it happens at home, it's okay. Anybody tells you that harden your heart, watch what you're listening to. Don't harden your heart. You harden your heart, you'll turn God. You won't be able to hear from him. He won't walk away from you. You won't be able to hear. You got to be tender. You got to be able to absorb. So I got to get done because he's going to kick me off. I'm sure the music's going to start here anytime. But just hear me. Listen. Listen to what he says. Listen to what Pastor says. It's important. Thank you.
So as Pastor said earlier, my approach is going to be a little bit different simply because I'm a little bit younger, but I believe I speak for a generation of younger men, younger dads, that say that we're thankful to have exemplary models such as yourself to lead us and to guide us. Amen. And there's a determination to see God's destiny in our lives in the younger generation. So I simply want to take a brief moment to talk about the best is yet to come. And this can seem like a cliche statement, but I really believe that God has wanted to take this church beyond just simply a statement. But I believe that it's a position, it's a lifestyle in which we're living in, and God is going to take us deeper in it. And so being a young parent, not knowing what to expect with your first child, you prepare and you think you've got all your ducks in a row, you know, your I's dotted, your T's crossed, all that good stuff. And once that baby comes out, you quickly realize that cannot be further from the truth. You know nothing. And so this entire time, I'm like, you know, I got to perform at this level. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. All went to wash as soon as the baby came. And so God began to deal with me because I allow that mindset not only to absorb who I am as a parent, but who I am spiritually. And a lot of times I'll pride myself on preparing to be what God wants me to be rather than relying in his power. And so 1 Chronicles 29:11, it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." So here King David, he lists these attributes for God. And the reason he was able to experience the greatness and the power is because the remainder of the scripture. It says, "For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." And so what that means is David had understanding that everything belonged to God. His ministry, his marriage, his kids, everything that he had belonged to God. And only when you understand that it belongs to God, you no longer take credit. You no longer put confidence in your performance. You no longer pride yourself in the ability to prepare, but you rest in the power of God. And the Bible continues to say in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, that the glory of God will not be given to another. And that's something that I fell victim to because I was so reliant on my performance and result, my preparation as well, that I diminished the power of God in my life. Because subconsciously what I began to do was to take the glory from him and try to put it on myself and say, hey, because I was prepared, this is what I did. Because I was in my comfort zone, this is what I was able to accomplish. But God will quickly shift all that. And so the first thing that God had to teach me as a young parent is to stop relying on my preparation and to rest in his power. The second one is, in order to be an overcomer, I had to replace excuses with expectation. So I am incredibly hard on myself. There were situations that me and my wife dealt with that I felt that I wasn't sufficient for. At the age of 11, my parents divorced. You know, I'm the product of a broken home, no father, no example to show me what it looks like when times get hard. However, God quickly began to say, you're not a product of your past experience. You're a product of what I can restore. And so I had to really, that became my identity, because no longer did I have to face what I wasn't, because he would make me what I needed to be. And so in Joel, the second chapter, verse 25 and 26, it says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you." So if you pause right there, you notice that God identifies these things that stole as what he sent. And so if God will take things from you, but rest assured that he will restore that thing. And not only will he restore it, but it'll be twice as good as it ever was. And so continuing on in verse 26, it says, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." I want to tell everyone in here, wherever there is godly restoration, shame has no place. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you've done, what you think you disqualified yourself for. I am a living example that God can restore. God can use you. And if he has called you, he will qualify you and he will equip you with everything that you need. And so this entire overcoming aspect, I had to figure out what that looked like. And God began to show me that you can't overcome until you approach an obstacle with expectation. And so Psalm chapter 106, verses 8 through 11, it beautifully illustrates this. It says, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left." And so here we have Moses. This has to look like the biggest L that the Israelites have ever taken. So here you have your God who performed these wonders, but our magicians perform a majority of those works. And he takes you out of our captivity to lead you to a sea. How does that look? If I'm an Egyptian army member, I'm pretty confident. I've got weapons, I've got horses, chariots, and I've got the mental ability, because the only thing you know is captivity. The Bible begins to say that at one point in the wilderness wanderings, they had desire to be back in it, and their perception was tainted because they thought they had it made. We all know that's not the case. But Moses approached the Red Sea, and something within Moses said, God did not bring us here for this to be a place of stagnation. And so we approach this place where we say the best is yet to come, but we keep saying it and we feel stagnated. It's like, man, the best is yet to come. And we say it in faith, and I believe that our intentions are good, but God never created, he never intended for us to stay there, but he wants to take us beyond that. And so an example that I have from my job, I had a customer, and it seemed like no matter what I did, I could not satisfy him. I did one thing right, I did 10 other things wrong. And so I get into work just yesterday, and I'm like, man, I'm first there, and he beat me there, if that says anything. And so I'm like, man, what does this guy want? What can I do? What have I not already done? And so fortunately, I had found a place of prayer that morning, or else I probably would have had a totally different response to that. But he comes in, he's asking me, can I work on something for him? And so while I'm working on this, he begins to talk to me about his past, where he's from, what he experienced. So he was, I believe it was 50% brain dead from being robbed and shot in the head. He had told me prior to, I had spoke with him before, he said he was on disability, you know, but in my casual Christianity, I'm like, yeah, I'll pray for you, man. I'm just thankful you're all right, whatever. Not really being sincere and genuine with it. But he began to say, you know, hey, I'm a youth teacher at my church and I'm supposed to be at VBS. And I'm looking at him like, of course, but you're here to waste my time, right? Not the case at all. So we begin to talk and I'm able to help him with what he needed help on. And as he begins to leave, he shakes my hand and he hugs me. And he tells me, he said, God never commanded you to make sure that people receive the word. He has called you to proclaim the word. And I can dismiss that as just, oh man, you know, that's cool, that's whatever. But the fact of the matter is I had fasted. I prayed, God, prepare me with a word for your people. God, your people are what you find precious. And I don't want to take this opportunity lightly. I don't want to approach it with a casualty, but I want a divine word from you. And so in saying that, and when we stem back to the scriptures, God used the Red Sea and he began to show me, never doubt the source that I will use. You guys are putting this, what you deem as acceptable as a source that I would use, but I can use anything. I can use what you perceive to be a headache as a heaven send to help you get through what you're going through. And I can use the sea that you thought would stop you to send you to what I prepared for you. And so, students, I know you guys are fresh on summer. I hope you guys are still awake, but if not, that's okay. But we all know, because we've all been through school, whenever a study guide is given, what's coming next? A test, right? And so I had the lesson, and about 2 years ago, I'm working. My phone, it just continues to vibrate. I look at it, and whenever my wife calls me, I know, you know, okay, what she want to do? She just wants to talk. But when it's three calls, it's time to call back. So I really had to, you know, tap myself. Hey, excuse me, I got to take a call real quick. Cool. And so she calls me and she tells me, hysterically crying, she says that they're being rushed to the hospital in an ambulance because Cadence stopped breathing. And so here we go. everything that I had, the preparation, you know, get rid of the preparation, God. I'm relying on your power. Nothing in this world could have prepared me to see my child tied up, tubes up her nose, a needle in her foot. You know, nothing could have prepared me. And God, here I am at the height of what I feel like my inspiration and my faith, one as a father and as a man striving to be what you're calling me to be, and this is what happens. And when we say the best is yet to come, a lot of times we say it in a position of struggling, suffering, or solitude. We're all alone. We feel like nobody hears us. That's a lie of the enemy. We are in a church full of people that support you, that love you. Speak up. Let somebody know. Let them know. They will pray with you. They will fast with you, but they will be your brother, and I can assure you that. And so here I am, and I'm just like, man, we're staying in the hospital. I believe it was 3 days. And at night, it seemed like the nurse came in every 2 minutes when I would go into the bathroom, but I would begin to run the water as if I was taking a shower. And I would play music simply so my wife wouldn't hear me bawling my eyes out, because I felt like I had a promise from God. And just before my eyes, I was standing before my own Red Sea. And I was like, there's no way. But there was something within me that decided that I was way too determined. I was believing on God for way too much to sit there. And if this was how the story was going to end, it was going to be how God decided in his sovereignty, hey, you know, this is it. But it wouldn't be, because I ceased striving, I ceased praying, and I ceased to seek. And so in Matthew, chapter 26, verse 39. This is deity wrapped in humanity. And for the most part, I will paraphrase this. So please don't think that I'm taking the Bible out of context. But it says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass." This is Jesus saying, if there's any other way to do this, let's do that. And we know that that didn't happen. But nevertheless, the best was yet to come. And so in this, the revelation that I received through this is that there are some spiritual heights that God is calling you to, that the only way to get there is to struggle. There's no other way to get to it. And I wish I had a better answer. I wish I had something more positive, but you'll struggle. Some of it may be self-inflicted. Some of it may be heaven sent, but you will struggle. Because God's got to know that what he's going to gift you with, that he can trust you with. And the only way that God will give you a call or gift is if you value it. And so 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." There's two things that scripture refers to as fire. That's the Holy Ghost working within us, and that's trials working for us. Both are sent to refine you and to purify you. So continue to read that scripture. It says in verse 12, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed," stemming back from the first part, it's his glory to be revealed, "ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." I had a chance to work at the airport for a little bit, and what I learned is that airplanes, they actually take off going against the wind, because the same the wind that comes against them is the same wind that elevates them. We read the story of Enoch, and we love that he was translated. He went to heaven. He never saw death. But the fact of the matter is, the means of the means of him being translated was through a tornado. The Bible literally says whirlwind. And then we rejoice in the death and that we're resurrected with Christ. But it was by being beaten, mocked, and scorned that he defeated death and sin. So my purpose in saying all that is, sometimes it takes the worst in us, the worst done to us, to bring out the best in us. And a lot of times the storm isn't sent to destroy you. It's sent to deliver you into the promise that God has prepared for you. And so I want you guys to hold on to that promise. If you hear anything that I said, just know that. So my daughter, 3 days later, we're leaving the hospital with a healthy baby, which I am incredibly thankful for. Great. And I'm so incredibly thankful for that. But beyond that, there's something about it. If you submit to that storm, once you're done, once it's over, your praise won't be the same. Your love will not be the same. People may not understand it, but that's okay. It's not for them to understand anyway. You will never take another moment for granted, and you will not miss an opportunity. A lot like you were saying, you will never take it for granted. So in closing, the best is yet to come is the title. But God told me something. He said, the best is yet to come for those who have come to me to give their best. And so in everything we do, just give God your best, whether it be in parenting, whether it be in your spiritual walk, at work, the best is yet to come for those who have come to God to give their best. That's all.
Why don't we stand together and thank the Lord for what we have heard from these men. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the testimony of these lives. I thank you for the word that we have received, the faith that has been put into our hearts today. We love you and we honor you for it, God. We believe you for what you're doing right now. I wonder if you would take a moment as the musicians come and consider what you have received from the testimony of these men today. And whether you're a dad or perhaps you're not a dad, but you're just a believer, a fellow traveler going through life, is there the possibility that you could take a moment and just close your eyes and say, Jesus, I want to believe that you can make me an example of the kind of godly person that can make it through storms and tests and trials of life to be greater for you than I ever have become or anything I could ever imagine. And so, Lord, my prayer is that my influence would be great. Certainly for dads, that our influence would be great in the home, in the church, and in the community. But for every believer here, Lord, help us to take from every person that is spoken, from the spirit that we feel, and recognize that your power is here lifting us up above every storm, every test, to be great for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise God. Brother Paul, thank you so much for ministering to us today. We appreciate that so much. I love you. I believe in you. Thank you so much, Brother Kevin, for letting God use you and sharing your story. What a tremendous, tremendous testimony. And I want our elders to come, and they've got the prayer list, and we're going to pray for needs that have been mentioned, listed, ask God to do a work. But in these last few moments, I would like for every dad to join our elders. We want you to come as a testimony that I embrace the reality that I have a story too, that I'm a dad of destiny. And maybe we've just heard from a couple of dads, but every single father here has a story. And by you coming to the altar now, go ahead and come if you're a dad here today. You're coming and you're saying, you may not know all the details of my story, but I'm telling you, I am a dad of destiny. I am committed to living my life to please the Lord. No, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I have struggles. But I will tell you this, I am trusting the Lord with my life and with my family and with my future. And to each dad that is here, I want you to embrace the promise from the Word of God that whatever seasons you've been through this life, and we've heard two dads talk about their seasons and their story, whatever seasons you have been through, I want to guarantee you from the Word of God that there is a season that is coming that your life will bring forth fruit in due season, that people will look at your life as an example of a man of God that has trusted in the Lord. I wonder if every dad would raise both hands right now as if to say, God, I put my life into your hands. I put my family into your hands. And I am believing you for a fruitful season so that my influence will be great, not just in my own home, but in my church and in my generation. That my influence would be impactful so that I would have the touch of God upon every aspect of my life. If you have been through a season that has been all kinds of struggle and difficulty and all kinds of problems and challenges, would you say, God, you're going to help me grow through this season? If you've been through a season of heartache and a season where maybe things haven't turned out the way that you wished or the way that you wanted, would you as a dad say, I believe a fruitful season is coming. I believe a season of harvest is coming. And I believe, God, you're going to use my life to be a great impact for your kingdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have a dad up here, would you come and join them for prayer right now? Or if you have a friend up here that's a dad, would you come and link up with them? I invite the congregation to come in these last few moments. Would you pray for God's blessings to flow, for God's presence to flow, and for miracles to happen in these last few moments that we have together. Everybody's welcome to come. Everybody's welcome to pray. Everybody's welcome to seek the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I wonder if you'd link up with somebody near you. Come on.